All right, it's September 2nd, 1988, and we have with us Willie Pompey. How do you say your name, Willie?
Pompey.
Say it, you know.
Pompey. It's Willie Pompey.
All right, and Willie, where were you born?
Brownsville, Pennsylvania.
Brownsville, Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
When?
1946.
What day?
August 23rd.
August 23rd? I'm a Virgo too.
1946. In a place called Brownsville, Pennsylvania.
And what's your permanent address?
Seattle, Washington. 926 Northwest 52nd.
You gotta speak up.
926 Northwest 52nd in Seattle, Washington. 98107.
Okay. What the tape's for is I photographed you, and I'm doing a book called Attic. And I have like 50 addicts in this book. You're one of them. And I have your photograph on one page, and your story on another page next to the photograph with your name and everything. And basically your childhood, what happened, pain, the hope, your spiritual path today, basically what you think is important about you, and maybe to get the message out another way through this art book. Basically what you know, if you were to do a meeting out here or something, feel like you go to your home group and you're sharing with a newcomer or something. You just, you know, whatever comes naturally to you, what you think is important about how you grew up, what happened, and how wonderful your life is today.
Basically, when I grew up as a kid, I grew up in a large family, you know, and growing up in a large family, I didn't have any problems as a kid, at least that I knew about, except, you know, and I was one of nine kids, and we lived in a farm, and I grew up, you know, pretty much. It was when I became 13, I think it was, when we moved to the city, to Buffalo, New York. And I started running around with different people, and then I started drinking and drugging. You know, I basically just started drinking, and I got in trouble, and I went to prison. And I got out, and I drank more, and I run around, and I did drugs, and it got real hard, you know. Nothing basically happened to me real bad, you know. I mean, some bizarre things happened, getting in trouble and police arresting me, you know. That stuff was all normal to me, you know, until in 1981, I had to do something with my life, you know, because I was sick and tired of getting loaded, and I was sick and tired of the pain that I was, I guess what you'd say, I was mentally bankrupt, you know. I couldn't handle it, you know. I didn't want to deal with it anymore, you know. I had a wife and a son and a lot of friends, you know, but they were mostly they didn't understand that I had a problem, you know, with drugs and alcohol. And I sought help, and I met a lady that was my therapist who told me about recovery, and I told her, well, I don't need that, you know. Told me about treatment or, you know, a treatment center, and I told her I didn't need it. And a few months later, I went back and talked to her again about it, and I, you know, I was gonna, I wanted to take this stress management class that they had. And she told me that I had to be clean. You know, I couldn't have any drugs or alcohol in my system when I took this class. And I told her I couldn't do that, you know, because I didn't want to expose my family to me going through not taking drugs or not drinking. And so she sent me to a treatment center, and And when I got out of treatment, I went to a 21-day treatment, and in there I learned a lot. You know, I learned a lot about alcoholism and addiction and about drugs, because at that time I was one of the first addicts that they had ever taken into this treatment center. And there was a little old lady that worked there who was a counselor who talked there one night and said she was going to talk about drugs because it made a lot of the other counselors and other people nervous when she talked about drugs and the addiction of drugs, you know. And she told me that I never had to use again, you know, and I didn't understand that. And I went out of treatment. I still didn't understand it. It took me a couple of years in the fellowship to find out that what she meant, you know. And I, you know, found out about going to meetings and going, getting a support group, you know, for me to stay clean, you know, and stay off drugs and alcohol. And you know, and I did that, and I went to a lot of meetings, and then I found out that there was more to my life than these things, you know. It's like I believe that I have a gift to communicate with different people, you know, all kinds of people. I can talk to them, and people feel comfortable talking to me. And I got involved in all these committees, you know, and stuff. And then once I had to admit that I did these jobs and I do this stuff, but I never learned how to read or write, you know. And I had to admit that before I could do anything about it, you know. And my son, at the time, I think he was, you know, 13 years old. For my birthday, he went to a place called the Foundation for Reading. And it's a place that teaches people how to read, adult people that don't know how to read. And they got me this stuff, and I started learning how to read and write, you know. And if I hadn't quit drugs and alcohol, I would have never started to learn this stuff, because I had got through all my life, you know, went through my whole life getting by this stuff without knowing how to do it, or without people knowing that I'd done it, you know, or without people not knowing, you know, like they didn't know that I didn't know how to read. They thought I knew how to read. And I associated with people in the University of Pittsburgh and all over the place, you know, because I traveled around a lot. And I had all kind of friends, you know. And being clean, quitting drugs and alcohol, made it me able to, I guess, clear my head enough to start learning this stuff, you know. It's okay, you know. It's okay to be clean. It's okay to feel the emotions of being clean. We do feel those emotions, and it gets hard at times, you know. And you think about, you know, how you want to go back to getting loaded. And then you think about the fun I've had since I've been clean. You know, I've been clean since 81, and I believe this is my eighth World Conference, you know, for the fellowship. And I've met people all over the world, you know. Being clean, I was able to get a passport to go to Europe, and I have couple of felonies. I was charged with three felonies, and they gave me a passport and let me go to other countries, you know. And the things that I, you know, the things I can do, you know, now that I've learned to do, you know. I'm constantly working on learning how to read better, and I'm learning. I'm going to go and work on getting my GED, you know. And it's like, you know, through the fellowship and the people in the fellowship and the support of the people that are in recovery that don't want to do drugs or don't want to do alcohol, and they support me in my learning, you know, and stuff. And it's been great for me, you know. It's like I go all over and I support other people, And I tell people that it's okay to quit. You know, it's okay to get clean, and it's okay that you're going to feel a lot of emotional things. You know, sometimes you get clean and you don't... things don't stay the same, you know, because you get clean, and sometimes you find out the woman that you're living with, you don't, she don't love you, or you don't love her, and you have to learn how to deal with that stuff without going back out and getting loaded, because so many of us want to, every time something happens to us, we want to blame other people or other, you know, it's always somebody else's fault. And what I've learned is that I can't blame anyone for what I'm doing or what I've done, you know. It's like, I've made that bed and I have to sleep in it, you know. And it's okay, you know, because what I've learned also is that to deal with my life and go on and learn, you know. And I've learned through the fellowships and through the steps and through the traditions and through all these things that... I didn't know anything about before, you know, and I've learned to support, you know, how to create a support group that when I'm feeling bad, that I can call someone else up and talk to them, because it's real important to share with another addict that's in recovery about the pain I'm feeling or the discomfort I'm feeling, you know, because... They know how I feel, and they know how they felt when they went through that, you know. And it's okay, you know, that in recovery we have to do that, you know. We have to support one another. It's like one addict helping another addict. It's parallel, and it's true, you know, because through the support of other people, I'm able to stay clean off of drugs and alcohol now for 7 years. And come December 2nd, I'll have 7 years clean off of drugs and alcohol. And it's been a good life for me, you know, because I've learned a lot. I've gone through divorces. I've gone through death. I've had my mother and my uncle and my grandma and my brother-in-law die all in an 8-day period, and I wanted to go get loaded real bad, and the support of the people that I know where I live at in Seattle, by them calling me up and in New York and asking me was I okay, you know, and giving me that support, you know, that it's okay to feel the pain and go through it and not use over it, you know. And there is no reason, at least I believe, that for no matter who comes, goes, stays, or dies, there's no reason for me to get loaded unless I want to go get loaded. And that's where the spiritual part of the program for me, I guess, comes in real strong, that I believe that my senior partner, as I understand him, will help me stay clean another day. You know, as long as I'm willing to turn my will and my life over to the care of my senior partners, I understand it. And we talk about it, you know, and we go through, you know, I go through changes, you know, in life, you know, but I don't want to get loaded again. I want to further myself in education, you know, I want to learn more, you know, and there's things that I have goals to do, you know. It's like I want to learn more about this business of recovery, because I believe that I can carry the message to other addicts, you know, who may not make it, you know. I may be able to help them make it, you know. I believe that, you know, you have ministers that talk about different things and help people. I believe that by me talking about addiction and recovery, I may be able to help another addict that is using and wants help and don't know where to turn, you know. And I do that a lot, you know. I help the newcomer out. If a new person comes in hurting or sick, I try to help them through their recovery and help them get established with other people that are staying clean and people that want to work the program, you know, and these things are real important, you know, and I believe that as part of that support group that you set yourself up with, you know, you get to know all these people so that when you don't show up, they want to know why you're not showing up, and they want to know why, what are you doing for yourself, you know, and why aren't you being in touch with other people, you know, because sometimes we isolate ourselves, and we have problems and we don't want to talk about it because we think that it's wimpy or it's none of their business, you know, and that may be so, but you know, we're talking about our life, you know, and if we don't, you know, we give up a lot of our old ways by not asking for help or asking for support. We have to ask for help, and we have to ask for support, and talk about what's going on, you know. Talk about the emotional things that we go through. Talk about the feelings of fear, the feelings of anger, the feelings of resentment, you know. Because when an addict cleans up, you know, at least for me, it was like taking my best friend away, you know, my lover, my honey, you know. It takes everything away from you, you know, that was negative, you know, and it puts all these wonderful people in your life that are willing to help you stay clean and help you change things in your life. You know, it's like recovery for me is making changes and being willing to make changes, you know, and talk about the things that I'm afraid that if other people find out about, you know, like it took me a long time, you know, in my life, and it took me about three or four years in my recovery. I think it was in my third year. I was getting ready to have my third year birthday, and I told people in the fellowship that I didn't know how to read. And that was hard, you know, to tell people that stuff, you know. And since then, you know, once you tell that secret, you know, those little secrets we have that is what keep us sick and keep us in our addiction and keep us running, you know. It's like telling a little lie, you know, and then you have to remember it because you got to tell it the same way again, you know. And in recovery, you know, you find out that if you open and honest about yourself, you know, it makes your recovery a whole lot easier, and it makes people easier to get to know you, you know, and help you in your recovery, you know, because we sometimes don't want help, and we do want help, but we're not willing to be honest with ourselves that we can't do it alone, you know, and doing it alone is an addict in bad company, you know, because we think we can do it without the help of others, you know, and we can't because it's hard on us, you know. We sometimes do it and it doesn't work, you know, because we don't have anything, no guidelines, no support group, you know. We're isolated. People don't know us. People think we don't like them, you know, and we have to reach out, you know. It's really important, the willingness to change, the willingness to go to any lengths, you know, to work on our recovery from the abuse of drugs and alcohol, because when we were getting loaded, we would go to any lengths, you know, to get loaded, you know. When I was living in Pennsylvania, I used to have friends in different parts of the country, and they'd call me up and tell me they had different drugs, and I would jump in my car and drive out for the weekend, and I would go to any lengths for drugs, you know. And in my recovery, I had to make a commitment, you know, to staying clean, you know, and to going to any lengths for being clean, you know, because if I go, you know, that extra mile to get clean, and to stay clean, you know, or to go to a meeting or go talk to another person that's hurting or a person that wants to get clean or stop using, you know, it's okay, you know, because someone did it for me when I got clean. You know, they went that extra mile and took that extra patience to talk to me and the time to share, give away what they have learned, you know, and that's how it works for me, you know, is that as long as I tell people how I am, you know, and who I am, I'm not a secret, and people know me, you know, and they see me and they like me, and I like them, you know, and I I just work the fellowship to the best of my ability, you know, and that's for me, you know, the best of my ability, no one else's, you know, because I can't work it to your ability because I don't know your ability and you don't know my ability, but if I do it to the best of my ability, I won't take nothing today, and probably I'll make have a support group for me that I won't take one tomorrow either, you know, and for me that's how this program works, or any program, you know, that talks about recovery, you know, because there's a lot of programs of recovery, you know, and there's, you know, the family group, which is really important to me, you know. I get into a lot of disagreements about that because I believe that if an addict cleans up, the family got to clean up too, because the family is a part of that disease. You know, we use drugs for lots of years and we say that we don't hurt anybody. I ain't hurt nobody but myself. But that's not true because when we're using, we affect immediately 10 people. You know, grab any 10 people that know us and that's close to us and that love us and care us about it. We affect them, you know, personally. You know, and we affect our wives, we affect our children, you know, our parents, our relatives, you know. And so everybody has to recover together, you know, or understand. Or if not recover together, at least understand the concept of the disease of addiction, you know, and that it's not a phase that we're going through, or it's not, you know, it's not some of the things you hear people in denial talk about, you know. People talk about, oh, it's just a phase he's going through, he'll grow out of it, and sometime we don't get to grow out of it because we die. We OD or we get loaded and drive our vehicles and kill ourselves and kill other people, you know, and that happens through the addiction and the disease of alcoholism and drug addiction, you know, and it's, you know, it's places for everyone to go in these recovery groups, you know, and people, the message needs to be carried. That it's okay to get clean, and it's okay not to use drugs, and it's okay to start feeling the emotions and dealing with them, you know, and reaching out for help and taking that first step, you know, and taking that step and reaching out to another person that is in recovery or don't use, you know, and it makes a better, happier life. At least for me it does, you know, and I do the best I can, you know. I go to a lot of meetings and I go visit a lot of people and I talk about addiction and I just, you know, I guess I talk to my senior partner the most about helping me not use one more day, staying clean one more day, you know. And that's all I got is today, and I go through it regularly, and I stay clean, you know, through working the fellowship and visiting with people and talking with people and carrying on, you know. We don't have to use, and we don't have to live that way, you know, and it doesn't matter what lifestyle you live, you know. You can be, you can have money in the bank, you know. I know that one real well. You can have money in the bank and have a nice home and a nice family, have a good job, and still be a strung out addict, you know. I was one of them addicts that had a good job, and I still have a good job, and I have a wonderful son who's, getting ready to go to college, I guess. He talks about it a lot, and he loves me and cares about me, you know. He cares if his dad is a drunk or a junkie, you know, and I didn't clean up for him, but I cleaned up for me, and he gets to share the benefits with me, you know, of being clean, you know, because we get to take vacations together, do things together, where before I cleaned up, I wouldn't leave too far from home unless I took a suitcase of dope and a suitcase with clothes in it, and I worried every time I crossed the state line if I was going to get busted, you know, by some of these little towns you go through. But today it's different, you know, I don't care, you know, it's okay that they know that I'm cleaning up, and that I've cleaned up, and I don't have a desire to get loaded again, you know, or to drink, or to take drugs, or anything, you know, and I want to be an instrument and a part of carrying the message of recovery for people, that there are places that, as a using addict or as an addict that needs help into fine recovery, you know. I like to feel that no matter who the person is or where they come from or whatever, if they ask for help about cleaning up, that I can help them do it, you know. And that's part of my story, the basic part of my story, you know. I grew up and became what I thought I never would be, and I did, and now I'm changing that stuff, you know, and the things I should have learned in school, I didn't learn, and today I'm learning them, you know, and it's a little harder to learn it at 42 than it was when I was, 12 and 8 and 9 and 10, when I should have been learning that stuff, you know, and I didn't, you know, today I'm learning it, and if I hadn't cleaned up, I probably wouldn't even be trying to learn it. You know, it's really important that I do that. You know, it's really important that I remember to stay clean and to remember where I came from and where I'm trying to go, you know. Because as long as I remember that, you know, I have nothing to fear, you know, but fear itself. And that's about it for me.
Thank you. Wonderful.